shit. Chris told me I could cuss. There's a few things I'm going to say. Do I need to put a dollar in a bucket someplace? I might as well ante up. So I'm going to try to be real. And cussing is still part of who I am. Unfortunately, I haven't taken that piece of work to God. Anyway, oh, my name is Jay, and I am such an addict. Woo! Woo! Yeah. Today is a good day to be sober. Woo! I'm talking about. Oh, my gosh. I am so excited to be here. Chris, thank you for asking me. What an honor it is to always share your experience, strength, and hope. I, for some reason, was a little nervous. My mind is kind of a blank slate. I'm like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to say? So it's like, I think maybe that's a good thing, because then y'all, it'd be a lot better if I get out of the way and I let God talk through me. So like, that would be my prayer for today. Anyway, so I'm supposed to tell you what I was like, what happened to me, and what I'm like now. And I'm going to... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Let me know if I ever drop down. Probably won't, but I'm pretty loud. So, okay, so I like to walk around. Okay. Let's get this party started. The drugs and alcohol do not discriminate. And so my story is that I was raised in a nice family that loved me and that they treated me well. And I don't know why, but at the age of 11, when the little boy down the street asked me to sneak out and drink the Strawberry Hills Boone's Farm, I said, why, yes, I do. Anybody else think of a Strawberry Hill? They still have Strawberry Hills. They still have it. Okay. And that started my career as a high-class wine host. And then, started at 12, a guy down the street, you want to smoke some cigarettes? Well, yeah, I do. You want to smoke some marijuana? Oh, yeah, well, yeah, I do. 12 years old. 13 years old. Would you like to do a shot of dope? Yeah, I would. Now, why would a 13-year-old child want to stick a needle in their eye? I don't know. Any guys, younger people start really young here? Yeah. So, all I know is that I did not like the way Jane felt. And I know that I liked the way I felt, and it made me feel a part of when I put some chemicals in my body, and I like that. And like we all do when we get started on this rodeo, it's fun. You know, the drinking's fun, the doping's fun. It's good, right? It's good times. We don't keep doing it because it's not fun from the start. It is fun. We get involved in that rodeo, and we do it, and we do that, and we do it. And that's just one of the cunning and baffling, powerful things about this disease is that you will keep doing it and keep doing it, and you put those lines in the sand and say, I'll never do that, and then you do it. And then you will not do that one. Okay. Not do that one and not do that one. And then you don't see it. And then by the time you see like, hey, maybe I got a problem here, it is way too late. I'm already completely and utterly powerless and addicted to what it was. So what happened is I completely, in a period of about 9 months, went from like the perfect daughter, student, just do everything right, type down. Well, again, my parents were always trying to give me the best. You know, I did ballet, I did piano, I did tennis, I did sewing, I did this, I did that. You know, and also, and I had all this stuff going on around me, and I always thought, and I learned at a very young age, I thought that what was going on was out here. If I could do things the best, and if I had the best out here, then this would be okay. And of course, you know, as we find, it never is enough. It's never, never okay. That doesn't ever, it's just a temporary fix. And so I started being verbally abusive to my parents and started to get, you know, physically abusive with my mom. And they saw that I was, like, spiraling out of control quickly. And I was skipping school. And I was 13 years old. And I was out having sex. And I was doing whatever the hell I wanted to do. I was 13 and I ruled it. You know, like, and I was convinced that I ruled it at 13. And so my parents put me in a long-term treatment center for emotionally disturbed children. And I was locked up for 2 years. A long time. And I learned a lot of good therapy. Lots of good therapy in 2 years, I'm just saying. You know. It wasn't, you know, I did. But I didn't learn about the addiction. You know, I didn't learn about what I was, you know, why I was sticking needles in my arms and what the deal, what was up with that. And they were telling me it was because my dad was never home. Anyway, so does that suck when you don't have a father at home? Yeah. You know, does it suck? I don't know if there's a boatload of you in here that have been terribly, probably horribly traumatized, sexually, physically, mentally abused. You know? But that's not what makes you an addict or an alcoholic. So when I got out of that place at the age of 16, I stayed sober about 6 months. Someone asked me, do you want to drink some beer? So what do you think I said?
Yes.
I like that. I like that. Oh, yeah. With enthusiasm. Yeah. Okay. And then when the little girl that I went to treatment with asked me, do you want to do a shot of methamphetamine? Oh, yeah. I didn't know what it was, but oh, yeah. Let's do it. And I never was a problem issue with me what it was. I just wanted to do something to change the way I felt. Now, I did that first shot of methamphetamine, and it was on. I don't know how else to say it. You know, like when you do your drug of choice and you find it, it was like, ah. You know, somehow or another, the gears that weren't in place just kind of split in. Everything seemed to fit. I did meth, and I was, okay. You know? And so basically what my story looks like in a nutshell is for the next 27 years, I did as much methamphetamine and as often as possible. And that's my story. You're shaking your head. Yeah. Any meth tweakers?
My people.
I was kidding. Oh my God. We can deny things. Well, we can tweak some shit, can't we? I'll tell you what. You know, and that's fun. I started doing methamphetamine, and I could talk to you, and like in my mind, I could have like 6 conversations at one time. Thought I could talk in 3 languages. You know, I had interdimensional terrestrial things going on. I had the key to the universe in my hands when I got high on methamphetamine. It rocked my world, and it worked well for a while. You know, and I got married. I barely graduated. Got married. He left me for my best friend. We were about 2 years married. He came home and said he was leaving for her. And I was like, oh, you know. So I started selling. What else is it going to do? You know. So I started selling, and I got so strung out. I thought, oh, this isn't working for me. So I bought myself a one-way ticket to New York, trying to do a little. I didn't know somebody in New York. It was just like a random, whole New York sounds good. So I went to New York on one way ticket, had a girlfriend that lived up there, and I tried to, you know, get things right. But, you know, the thing is, no matter where I go, there I am. And in New York, the bars stay up until 4, not 2. Mm-hmm. So I got really well acquainted, reacquainted with alcohol. That worked so well. And, yeah, and then ended up coming back. You know, the geographical changes never worked. And I came back, and I still didn't get that. Self-help. And what that looked like for me is that my parents, again, always wanted to provide me. That, you know, our family, they just love us. So they just want us. They just want us to be happy and okay. They just love us. And I get so strung out, and I always manage to hold on with the car. I took a car back home, and they let me get cleaned up there, and I would do that. And then they would find me a job, or I'd find a job, or I'd enroll in school, or I'd do something. And then I could only do that right up until I couldn't do that any longer, right? I only have 2 problems. When I'm doing that, and when I'm not doing that. Pretty messed up life, you know. But I either got to have it, or, you know, it's like I do it until I can't do it anymore, and I don't do it for, you know, I have to do it again. So I would do that, and that kind of just repeated itself over and over again. So I always had a place I could come home to, and, you know, and try to heal again. You know, my dad would find me jobs. I know one year he got me a job at a bank. That was not a good idea. That didn't go well. You know, I had to make amends for that. Well, okay, y'all are my people. Y'all know. You know, we do stuff. We do stuff to get high. I just kept doing that and doing that. And I met Joel. I was about 28 years old. And that, you know, Joel made meth. And so, you know, game on. And he made some really good meth. And he was just as crazy as the kudal, but that was okay. I you know, kidding me, say he thought he was God, and I thought he was God, and it worked for a really long time. You know? Someone was sitting in the room that was part of that insanity with me. Shit. Okay. Oh, we used to party and it was crazy, and she knows this guy was crazy. Of course, I wasn't crazy, but he was crazy. And that probably is up for, you know, we could probably look at that later on. But anyway, I had to be crazy to live with him doing what I was doing. But he made meth, and I stayed with him for a really long time because that was my God. And in the course of 27 years, I never thought that 5 years later I would be doing the same thing, you know. I just never thought. And that's the thing, is you stop thinking when you get high like that, right? Emoted. And part of the delusion, it would be different. I just didn't know how to do anything differently. I know that I tried to leave Joel one time and ended up trying to get sober back in a long time ago. And I only made it 58 days. I went to treatment, and I got out, and I stayed sober another 3 weeks, but there was this guy I left John, but there was this guy I'd kind of been liking, and I thought, well, then I had the opportunity to get with him, but except the fact that he manufactured also, so, you know, so my sobriety didn't last very long. And what happened, what that looked like for me, though, is I stayed sober. After that, I stayed sober 2 more weeks, and then I stayed sober a week, and then I thought, I'm going to get high one more time. Anybody say that line? Really? I'm going to get high one more time, or I'm just going to do one. Oh, my God, how funny is that? So, I'm just going to get high one more time, and then I had a standing invitation to return to treatment. That's not right. And just please go back. Anytime you're ready, honey, just go. And that year cost me another 10 years of active addiction. And I went back to Joel, and things just kind of continued to shut down for me. You know, the thing of that finely tuned state of mind when you're high on methamphetamine doesn't last, right? You shoot meth that long, or you drink that much that long, or you do heroin or your pills or whatever it is you're doing for that long, you start getting stupid. Stupid on that stuff. Not that you're stupid, but you know, you're losing some brain cells and you're just shutting down and you're not thinking too well. And it's all about just living the lifestyle. It's just all about doing the dope, right? It's all about getting that next fix, living that life. What do I have to do to get what I need just to be okay? I just need to be okay. And in order to do that, I just need to do some meth. We lived out in the country, and I don't really have any friends, you know, because it's all about the drug world. And I usually kind of just jump over this, but I would like just to spend a minute in the darkness of what that looks like, to be so totally and spiritually bankrupt inside. You know, and you just do that day after day after day. And you get up and you do it again. And you do it day after day after day. And
You know, I couldn't look in the mirror any longer.
I was virtually incapable of making it anywhere on time. That was a joke. It was like Jane time in my altered universe. And I was real good at playing Nintendo and shopping and eating ice cream. So I'm really dating myself on the Nintendo thing, right? Because what is it now? It's Xbox or something? Yeah. Do anybody still play? Y'all still, is that still big stuff? Xbox? Y'all don't even do it anymore? Oh my God, that was the bomb! Nintendo. Okay. Ooh, Zelda? That was good shit. Saying it was good at the time. Anyway, hours of investing. I could have bought stock in it. Anyway, Coke and ice cream. And also during this whole time too, I was eating. I was like I was a bewildered food freak. You're not supposed to eat on it, but we did. And I got really fat. And we were fat food freaks. And you know, kind of liked it because we didn't look like food freaks. Except for the... You can just tell, right? When someone's cooked up or packed out or cooked out, you can tell the way they walk. They're just goofy. You can tell them. You can't stay still, right? You can't not do it. I tried. Oh my God, like they didn't know I was high at 4 o'clock in the morning at Walmart. My girlfriend and I, we spent so many hours in Walmart. Oh, like between 2 and 6. It's like, who else is in this point? What else have they got to do? Watch us. And we would be so tired. We'd be back in the shoe department. We'd be scooting along the... Oh, my God. Okay. So, anyway, doing that stuff, and I forgot where I was, and I'm sure that's going to happen at least one more time. I forgot what I'm talking about. Okay, so I'm just doing life, and we're going down the darkness, and I was not a friend in any sense of the word, the daughter in any sense of the word. I was not a mate in any sense of the word. I didn't take care of myself. I didn't clean myself. Who had time to brush their teeth? There was more important things to do, like Nintendo. Didn't keep the house clean. Chronic liar. Just would lie. I didn't know how to do it. And these are the tools. These are the finely honed tools of an addict. Right? Dishonesty, manipulation, full of shit. Delusional, game player, right? Those are finally, like, those are my tools and my trade. And you better bet, I kept this tight. You were not going to get in here at me, right? Because when you're out there running and gunning like that in that world, that devil like that, you can't really let people really know what's going on down here. So let's get on to what happened. So that went on year after year, a long time. Anybody had an intervention done on them? I had a divine intervention in the form of the DEA, but down my living door on May 18th of 2000, and that's how I came into the world. To me, that was God dressed up in fatigues and semi-automatic weapons coming at me. Because that's kind of, I needed something in my face taking me down. And I remember, this is always part of my story, I remember thinking three things when they came in that living room. And I'm also going to tell you, too, I normally didn't hallucinate, although most people do on street, but I was not a hallucinator. But they came in, I turned around, and they were busting in the door, and I looked up and I saw them with their guns and their stuff. Anyway, it's like in the movies. And they're like bending there. And I turned and looked down the pedestal of the kitchen, and I just went, eh. Oh my God, I did not want that to be true. And it was. And they did not think that was very funny or take about me. But talk about the powers. When you get thrown down and get handcuffed, that's, some powers right there. But I remember thinking three things, guys. I remember thinking the shit hit the fan because we just got doing a big cook. We had all our equipment, all our chemicals. It was all there. We were caught. I remember thinking that life was going to be over as I knew it because this was going to be my second offense. I had one possession, and this was my old man's third offense, so he was going down. So I remember thinking life was going to be over as I knew it. But here's the thing. I remember pleading in the back of my mind thinking, what took y'all so long? I am grateful to the God who busted us. Thank you. Thank you for busting us. Because I don't know. We looked like a damn flea market out there. We had stuff on tarps. You know, we shopped a lot. We either had a lot of money or not. And we had all these tarps. Who knows what was underneath it? We just shopped and stacked it and put tarps on it. We tweaked. And tear it up, leave it alone. Tear it down, leave it alone. You know, stuff. Crazy, crazy way to live. A lot of duct tape. You know, lots of duct tape. I'm just going to tell one most funny story now. I get on the solution. So, you know, things that we do in our addiction. I like to weed eat. And, anybody else like to? Okay, well, you don't have to. You don't have to weed eat. But, so I like to weed eat at night. I couldn't seem to crawl out of the house during the day, you know. So what I did, creative mind that I had, is I got like 4 feet of extension cord. I hooked that weed eater up, right? And I got me a duct tape, and I duct taped me a light to that weed eater. And plus, I had the like 5 million beam headlights on. So I'm back there in the back 4:30 in the morning. That was a good time. Living large. Okay, anyway, so back down. Okay, head busted. Okay, so what happened is that I got the opportunity to come to AR. And almost didn't because of the money situation, but my mom ended up showing up for me at the very last minute because I called and asked her if she would help. And she had refused my phone call from jail after almost 30 years of active addiction. I didn't blame her. You know, that phone call, like, no, I'm not taking the call. And I thought, but I called her and asked her to help, and she said she was going to ask three people, and then I thought, oh, I'm still going back to jail, you know. And she showed up at the last minute with the money and so angry, so very angry at me, but she's just hoping this time would be different for her daughter. And I got to come to treatment. So what a gift. No, what a gift.
Yes.
That you guys are sitting in here in this treatment center, removed, separated from drugs and alcohol, with some people who know this disease and only want to help you and get you better. What a gift. I know there's some people in here that are like, meh, 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 you know, they're not very happy to be here. You might want to just take a look at that and just try to get you changed your mind on that and get some humbleness and gratitude in here for that gift. Because we'll gladly refund you your fucking misery. This is a deal. This is a life-threatening disease. Once you dead, will take you loaded, and even better than that, will take you sober and miserable. Okay? This disease is so cunning, baffling, and powerful. Let me break it down to you. This is the deal. Let me see what you're up against here. You've got an illness that is, let's say, the bottle here. Whatever it is for you, pills, don't get rich, I don't care what it is. Let's just take right now, put the bottle. And it says, this is your disease, and it says, drink me. And because you're an addict or alcoholic, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to drink it. Because you don't have the power not to. You are going to drink it. Okay, here. I'm going to cuss. Methamphetamine, I was methamphetamine bitch for 27 years. It called my name, I came. It told me what to do, when to do it, who to screw, who not to screw, what, you know, y'all feel me? Yes. Yes. You want me to suck some, I'm sorry. can get to it. You guys all own it too. You know what I'm talking about. If you want me to do that, I don't have a problem with it. You just tell me, Meth, what you want me to do, and I'll do it for you, buddy, because I need what you got to offer me. And it's this disease that says, you come drink me, and because I don't have any power not to, I'm going to drink it. And here's the deal. My illness is poison. Whatever your drug of choice is, your DOC is poison for you. Or the whole smorgasbord is poison for us. We can't have any of it. That's a cold piece, isn't it?
Yeah.
You come in here like... Donna, no, I'm sorry. Off the table. No, not even you little marijuana magnets. You can't do it. No, none of that. No, collapse now. But it's telling me, it's calling my name and I come because I simply do not have the power not to come and to drink the poison. Okay, here's another cool piece about this disease. It's because of the cunning, baffling, and powerfulness of drug and alcoholism, is that I can't remember why I'm not supposed to do it. You know, I'm just saying. I'm like, huh? I'm like, whoop. You know, I was slinging snot last night because I came to one more time realizing that I had done something I said I wasn't going to do it again and did it even worse this time. Again. And I swore with every fiber of my being, I will not do that again. I'm in it. Give me a lie detector test. I will pass it. And I would have. Well, it tells me I cannot bring with sufficient force into my consciousness the memory and suffering of a week or month ago. Shoot, I can't remember last night. You know why? I can't remember. It's hazily supplanted. The idea that maybe it's not a good idea gets hazily supplanted. I can't see it. Okay, why I'm not supposed to do that. I know it's not a good idea. You know, there's something talking to me in my spirit that says, no, 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 better not do that. But I'm like, you know, shut that. And the disease, because I don't have the power, is going to take, it's going to win every time. Do I get that? Do I understand step one? Do I understand that I'm completely and utterly powerless? That is the hardest thing for us to get. There is not one person alive, there is not anything of this world that will keep me sober. I've tried it. Haven't you?
Yes.
It's not out there. I can't do it. It's not available to me. Step one, I got to get in step one that I've got a body that can't take it. Oh. And then what's really screwed up is now come along here, I've got this other piece, and I got a mind that can't live it alone. Oh, what does that leave me?
Fucked.
I am so fucked. Step one. Oh my God, that's it, right? Because I got a deal. I can't, my body can't take it. I'm not like my mother or social, I don't know, I'm sure there's a few social users out there, but let's take a social drinker. My mama drinks a wine every night. God bless her. You know, maybe two. Not very often. Why? Because she begins to feel it. And she pushes it away. I have no experience with that. I feel it, and I want it to come to me. Come on over here. You know, that's alcohol abuse. Don't waste the shit, yeah? You know, I get it. So, do I get... Okay, all we're trying to do... All the people are here are trying to do, or you know, what I'm trying to do, I always want... Lay your experience, what they talk about up here in the big book. Is it possibly that it's true for you? Is that your truth? That's all we're asking you to do. Put yourself in the place of the jaywalker. Now, that's some stupid stuff there, isn't it? But really... I can give you some stories of some things that I've done that are even stupid. Really? And is that my truth for me? Is that step one? Do I get that? Do I get that I was slinging snot last night, said I'd never do it again, and I told my mama when I looked in her eye, I said I would never steal out of her house again, which I did frequently. And I meant that, but I might as well have stood up here on this table and told her I was going to go around the room and flap my wings and come back and land right here. Because I did not have the power necessary to honor that commitment or that promise to her. I couldn't do it. I meant it. I just didn't have the power. I'm powerless. I met my match. Methamphetamine, alcohol, whatever was my master. Quicksand stance stretched all around me. So I got put in this treatment center in AR, and they told me I needed to do some things. They told me that I needed to work some steps, get a sponsor, take me through those steps, that I needed to get hooked up to a higher power, do some prayer and meditation to stay connected to that power, that I needed to go to meetings, and then I needed to help other people. That's five things. And in my fried little mind, I heard five things, and I wasn't sure what they all meant, but they sounded like things I could do. I wasn't sure, but they sounded doable. And if you're like me, you spend a lot of time and energy getting high and loaded, right? For real, a lot of time and energy. And so they told me that if I would just like even put forth half the willingness to do recovery that I did to getting high, so I was like, well, shit. Oh, shoot. Okay. So I thought I could do those things. And I also am so grateful that while I was in treatment, I had a moment of clarity. And I saw that if I did not jump in recovery with everything I had, the way I did my dope, I was going to use dope again. So I dove in. Y'all dive in. This is the good stuff. No, woo, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Life is sweet. No. See, you mamas in here. I'm so glad you're in here. Mama. God bless you. You know, I just want to say something to your mamas. Just to get real clear. Brain, drugs and alcohol hijack the brain. This is James' message. You got a thing right here in the middle of your brain called the reward pathway, and it remembers stuff because it likes to feel good. Okay, so on an average scale, you're on 1 to 10 on feeling good. You might like feel something like, you know, like, well, when you have sex, that's probably pretty good. Spiking. Okay. Or when you, you know, like when you see your kids or you play with your pet or you, if you, there's something that you like doing, a hobby or something that you, you know, watching movies, playing music, right? You get chemicals are produced, right? And you feel good. Okay. So you're hitting now, you're putting some artificial stuff in there and you're, instead of a 1 to 10 scale, you're hitting a reward pathway with, oh, a Mach 20.
Yeah.
And you do that again. And again and again. And so what's your little brain going to remember? It's going to remember Mach 20, right? And it's going to seek the Mach 20. And so you are, your brain is hardwired, amazing, amazing organ. It's hardwired to remember some stuff. You need food, water, shelter, basic needs, right? To live. And then after that, it breaks down into more complex things. But what happens in the brain is that it gets rewired. And it starts thinking that it needs hit a crack more than it needs food. I need to hit a crack more not to take care of my baby. I need to hit a crack. I need to hit a speed. I need to drink more than I need to do to take care of my responsibilities. So the reason I talk about that, particularly you mamas, is just so you know, you're just sick. You're not bad people. What's happened is that you're an addict or alcoholic. You're not the sum of your past mistakes. Y'all hear me? You are not the sum of your past mistakes. That is not who you are or who you're intended to be. Drugs and alcohol will make us act and do things that aren't who we are. That is not who we are. Okay, so now I'm learning about this disease. And AR, y'all taught me some stuff. And I was grateful. And I jumped in and I did all those things that y'all told me to do. And I started seeking that power with everything that I had. And y'all told me that I, it wasn't, my personal experience with the God deal or higher power is that it made sense to me that I just admitted that I don't have any power. So it made sense to me that I needed to get hooked up to some power. That just made sense to me. Like, I need some power. I ain't got the power. You know, and it needed to be a really big power because it needed to stand between me and methamphetamine. And I thought it needed to be really big. And I also was told that I didn't have to figure it all out. I didn't know. It could, sometimes I think it would be better said if you said, a God am I not understanding? Right? Because God is higher power, whatever that is for you. And I love this program because you can come up with your own idea. But what's the higher power? How cool is that? Yeah. Don't get stuck on the God thing. Well, come on in. The water's great. My friend Dave goes, Dallas. Let's say you've never been to Dallas. So I tell you to head north on I-35. And if you keep heading north, Dallas will make itself apparent to you.
Yeah.
so will God. You just head on a path, high key, big spirit dude, goddess, love, good only directions, are the universe, whatever you want to call it. No twist out on us on this one. Come on in. Just pick one. That, you know, because right, if you really get step one, you're drowning. You're going down. It's like, I love that. I love that. Love them. Right? We have two alternatives, right? What are they? Blot out of my consciousness is the suffering and humiliation, blah, blah, blah. Go on to the bitter end. Or accept spiritual aid. So what are the other people I know that have died and go, how bitter is bitter? How bad is it really? Is it really bad? What does bitter really look like? Right? You're dying. It's like you're down there sinking, you're drowning, and we're throwing your life preserver, and you want to talk about maybe who made the life preserver. Who cares who made the life preserver? Grab it. Get in the lifeboat. Get in the lifeboat. Y'all are in the lifeboat right here. Y'all are in the lifeboat, in case you didn't know it. You're in the lifeboat. Now, stay in the lifeboat. Stay in the lifeboat. Don't jump out. Don't jump out. Stay in the lifeboat. It's a lot easier to stay in the lifeboat than it is to jump out and have to get back in. You relapsers, you know what I'm talking about. Dang. So anyway, I did this thing, and I enrolled in college 8 times in my using, and I was never able to finish anything. And, you know, the Delta is always more important, and I decided I want to go back to school. And if you want to do education, you go do education. If you don't want to do education, you don't do education. You go do what you want to do, right? It doesn't matter. But, you know, you can start like, figuring that out again, right? Because dreams shut us down. I mean, drugs shut us down. So now I can start dreaming again. Who am I supposed to be? Right? You come in here, it's like, I don't know. Anybody else feel lost? Like, I don't even know what I like or who I am or... What's fun? I don't know. I don't know. I'm used to doing this over here. Y'all are telling me this is fun. Oh my God, I remember in early recovery I was so raw. Everybody kind of said raw. Yeah. Oh my God. You know, because here I am, I'm Jane without drugs and alcohol. I don't have my coating. I don't have my armor on anymore. I'm like splayed open, don't have my coping tool. My solution anymore, I'm raw. I would go home, I'd drive to the meeting, and I'd run home, and like, you know, not really, because it was, I didn't know. I've been doing dope for almost 30 years, and lived in that culture. I didn't know how to be you, or human, or, you know, I didn't know what was right or wrong, really. I mean, how can I say that? So I erred on the side of too much and not enough, and y'all told me to pick up the phone and talk to people, and let people know what I was thinking. So I did a lot of that in early recovery. A lot of that. I picked up the phone. I called people. I thought that, you know, it sounded like they might have some stuff together a little bit better than I did. And I asked questions. Is this okay? I don't know. I'm feeling scared. What should I do? Just, you know, just things like that. I became willing to be teachable. That was a major thing for me, right? To be teachable in early recovery. What time do I have to stop? Okay. I'm going to talk really quick. So, God, there's so much I'd love to tell y'all. I ended up going to school, and I got my undergrad degree in social work at Santa Ed's, and then I went and got my master's in social work at UT, and so I have an MSW, and it's so much nicer to have letters rather than numbers after your name. I'm just saying. There was a small prison sentence that I had to do in early recovery. So anybody facing time, I just let you know that no matter what, you could go do time and it's okay. You know, it's just something you got to go do. You know, if you're going to do the crime, do the time, go down. I got caught. I did my time. I self-surrendered at 7 months sober. 7 months sober. I was I'm not all the way through my amends, but I was working my amends. I was doing the disciplines of 10, 11, 12, and I was free. Oh, it's free. Woo! I'm not just blowing smoke up your butt. I'm just saying, I was free. The obsession to use drugs and alcohol was gone. It wasn't like, do I do dope or do I not do dope?
Do I do that? Do I not do that? It was gone. And that's a promise. I promise you that if you jump in this deal and you do this recovery deal to the best of your ability, do it the way you got high, you will get connected to the power, because that's what the steps are about, is getting connected to the power, because without the power, I'm going to shoot dope. And so are you. Just saying. You will. Well, you got to get connected to the power. And I forgot what I was talking about. So, that's okay. I know it was going to happen. It happens at least once, and that's okay. But, so I went to school, I got my master's. Oh, and then I got out, and my first job was at Alston Recovery. Okay, that's pretty cool. You know, I came back, and I was the volunteer coordinator for 3 years there. And I just loved it. And I, you know, and but I got to tell you really quickly, is that life got really large. And ever so slowly, I started stepping away from the things that I needed to do, the space over to be connected to the power. And when I got out, was in the hospital, and I got offered some hydrocodone that I didn't need, I took it. I'm kind of summing it up real short. And I want to tell you all about that, because the deal is that this is not rocket science. If you people with long-term recovery, what they're doing is they stay in the work. They stay connected. They have a sponsor. They go to meetings. They do the disciplines at 10 or 11. And they help a boatload of people. And they stay in that. I did not. I kind of incrementally, just ever so slightly, stepped out. So when it was presented to me, I could not recall as if I'm a hot flame from it. Hydrocodone sounded like a good idea. Said if you had some discomfort, you can have it. I'm sitting there thinking in the hospital, I got some discomfort. You know? My disease loved that. You know? Oh, yeah, Jane. No, I didn't have any discomfort. None. And then there was another pill incident after that, one pill. But I reestablished at 12 and a half years sober, because I was real clear that I had taken some pills to change the way I felt. So I didn't tell you my sobriety date. My new sobriety date is May. No, that's the old one. New one. I can think about it. It's November 18th of 2012. So I got a little over 4 years again. But I just want to say that, man, this deal is sweet. Huh. I'm looking in your eyes. I see you. I see you, my kid. I see you guys. I see all of you. I see you, Elizabeth. You try to do this way of life at the best of your ability. Why don't you jump in this time while you have this time here and do it to the best of your ability? Have a new experience with this thing. Get yourself out of the way. Have some willingness and be teachable. You know, y'all were all purposed to be these beautiful, precious children of God. That's who you are. That's who I see. Whatever it is that you were meant to do, you can still be. You are that person. Y'all go do this. I tell you what, life is amazing. Sober. I just wish for a moment I could let you in my heart and see the joy. I am like one of the richest women in the world. Woo! I'm saying I am. In here. Go, my cup runneth over. And it's like the more I give, the more I get. So get involved in service work really quickly. And I'm going to read something out of the book and then quit. I'm almost on time. This is out of Dr. Bob's Nightmare. I spend a great deal of time passing on what I learned to others who want it and need it badly. I do it for four reasons. A sense of duty. It's my job. We need you in the trenches. You get sober, you'll come out here and kick ass and take names. Give back what you've been given. It is a pleasure. Indeed, it is a delightful pleasure. Like it. It is. Because in so doing, I'm paying my debt to the man or woman who took the time to pass it on to me. And four, because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. Journey of 1,000 miles begin with first step. Please take it and join us as we trudge the road to happy destiny. Thank you.